This is Channelline. So who are you?
Hi, I'm Ram. I'm an application developer for Microsoft IT. I basically develop applications for non-corporate affairs development of Microsoft.
Okay.
I basically develop applications on .NET. And I'm a developer with I also build applications using SharePoint and to the level I use ML-based. Now I'm going to talk about InfoPulse.
Okay.
InfoPulse 2003, which is a new application that we created along with Microsoft Office family in 2003. InfoPulse 2003 is basically will be a form which helps us to gather information effectively, flexible, using a dynamic rich form. Since the creation of these forms are very easy, even the business users can create their own forms and collect the information and share it across different business. Since InfoPulse integrates with web services and SharePoint, they can publish their information into the SharePoint since business users are available with SharePoint in a way. As I already said, InfoPulse is very easy to create. There are three options to create InfoPulse. You can create InfoPulse forms based on a schema, or you can create different InfoPulse forms based on XML, XML platform XML you have, or just by opening a form editor and creating a new form without knowing anything about XML schema. So the normal business is will actually go and use InfoPulse without doing anything. InfoPulse allows us to accept or retrieve information from web service, from a SQL database, from an XML document, or from a SharePoint document library. Similarly, InfoPulse also enables us to submit or send information to the web services or to SharePoint document library or to anybody's email. This is one of the widest features which is used across the reason why for this very successful within the business users when it comes to developers. From the developer side, you can create InfoPulse forms. You can create InfoPulse forms in form selection in InfoPulse form editor. And similar to Microsoft Front Page, where you can just drag and drop the text box, you also have a variety of controls in InfoPulse. They are called data fields. They don't basically answer the InfoPulse XML structure. What you have to do is to just create a text box or link box, whatever you want, and map it to this particular XML field on the back on the end screen. There are some controls called structure controls where, for example, we just create a table. Tables will actually answer your XML structure. You can add or remove tables. For example, if you want to add a list of student names in the form, by default you will just give a single row table, but I can go ahead and add multiple rows to add somebody called names to student names. In essence, there are something called retrieving controls, like giving a link, hyperlink to some other page, sending a mail in the form. Some of the key features of InfoPulse form. InfoPulse form is as I told, it can actually submit documents to a SharePoint document library. So the business users will basically open the form which is already published in a SharePoint document library and fills out their necessary information. And just submit it to the SharePoint library or send a mail. So they'll send a mail and the person at the receiving end will receive the form as an email attachment. You just need to open the form again, and the form will open in InfoPulse, and you need to fill in the information. Whatever you need to ask for, you can just send it back to the same person or to the different person. In my application, where I work, it's basically a work-through application. We use InfoPulse extensively as a data question form. Our business users create their own InfoPulse form. They don't interact with us. They just create an InfoPulse form and then interact with us, our workflow engine.
Can you there like you're creating something you're creating a platform, but basically how you validate that data has been by just not out of bar, so how you validate that business user form?
Well, yeah. As I said, we don't need to write any JavaScript or any specific code to validate form. InfoBot itself has user type of data validation scheme. InfoBot by default seems like that it will actually work based on schema. It validates the data immediately. You can also add your own validation by just setting up a rule for every control. You don't write any code for that. You can just go to the control and just it has a project property and just add your rules and validate what sort of data user can enter, what sort of data user cannot enter, and all those things. And this is you can validate it. If the reason is available, or if you want to write anything extra, you can just go and add script to it. You can add like a job, you can add a C# code, it's a code behind, and it will execute it. So you don't specifically, you have all the options to validate for your data, which is very useful. And InfoBot writes when you submit it, you have to tell the InfoBot that just call me this block of code which I wrote in this case. So InfoBot will execute it here and it. And until I will have some demo, but it will not have any data later.
So, we talked about the dynamic forms and rich data forms. So how is it different from your normal traditional web pages using ASP or ASP.NET to create a dynamic form? And how InfoBot, is there any way you can correlate and do some kind of key features? How is InfoBot differentiates from ASP.NET?
Sure. Since that the data of InfoBot is an XML document, you have a simple XML document. You can write a successful document in n multiple ways. You can actually create a new view in InfoBot form. So you can actually the view is a 9 XML, which you can actually render the XML. So when you enter the XML, actually you'll actually get an HTML page. So this is one of the best ways. I would say InfoBot is one of the best ways to create XML files. If you have an XML and if you want to render it to an HTML page and you don't know how to create an XML, just the one stop is open InfoBot, just add the XML to it. And just design your page how you want, even XSL, and just use the XSL in the web page. So it has multiple views, and this is created by the business, so they can just go and change it at any time. You don't add any, you don't write any single code. It is going to create its own XSL internally. We're just going to drag and drop what fields you want, how you want to look. Anyway, InfoBot is like what you create, what you get. In the design the form, whatever you choose, you see, whatever you design in the form, that's what the customer knows. Tomorrow I'll come back and fill up all the information that I need. You can't do this in the form. You have to fill it full, you cannot do anything, but come back and fill it everything. And InfoBot also supports automatic saving. Suppose you have very, very huge form which has like 200 fields. And you are at the end of like 15 fields. So you can send the InfoBot to basically save at particular level. So like for example, save it for every 3 minutes, so it can save the information you enter in your information. So even when forward and open the format, it will have the old information. You can just update it back to the server.
So
far, since
we're coming here to InfoBot, we have a notion of InfoBot and for office system, InfoBot is evolving as a lightweight user interface. to collect data from customers without very less interaction from the development team or any product engineering. So what do you think about it? Like, it's going to be benefit for a business, or it's going to be benefit for a customer, or a rapid change in the business?
Right.
Like,
your answer is right in your last part of the since the customer wants to change the interface whenever they want to add anything, or whenever they want to change the way they want to look at it, they can just go ahead and change it, they can just change it immediately. You don't need to have a developer or a high technical person to change it. They can quality for the day. You can just go and change the design, you will get the final output. So I see a lot of value add to the business, where they can modify the forms and just republish it, and the business and customer will get the updated form. You basically don't need to come to the development cycle at all.
So, when I compare the web pages and the InfoPartic game, I just having web pages have the restrictions to access the global file system. And how about the InfoPartic? InfoPartic kind of, I can go and do my local stuff like reading, writing, all this. But still, InfoPartic has its own. Because it's publishing in web, yes, it's like it's, I can publish in SharePoint, I can use it, can access it. So, if you allow to do that, I think they can just manage it with us.
It is the same as the web page. Even when the InfoPart form transmitted over to the client page, it still has restrictions about the client machine. You cannot go and access the machine from InfoPart. You already have a proper permission to register under the client machine. All the security goes as, like, it still is coming out of the HTTP service statement. There are some kind of security mechanisms you want to use. You can actually sign the InfoPart form using digital signatures. And if an restrict, only people who can open it, only people who can edit it. So this way you can actually control the form, giving access being entered by everyone. And I'll just give you some of the tips which I can, because I was developing for forms earlier. Never have a validation on the date seeker control itself. The reason is, you always have a validation until when you do a submit. The reason is, so for example, if you have a validation on a date seeker control, say that your date should never exceed on 10-10-2004, or 2005. And the customer opens the form after the 10-10. So even on, if you don't submit the form, because the date is at the pass. So he needs to change the date. If you actually validate it when the user submits it, at the time of submission, that validation is very valid. But once it's submitted, then that particular validation is not required. So if you write any rules on the console, then that's basically going to execute it every time when you open the form. So better write the validation which you want at the page level, at the form submit or their rules. Second thing is, this is a little exchange. InfoPart does not allow you to enter A space, blank space, B blank space, C in a single line explorer. When you just enter A double space, B double space, C, and when you just tab out on the particular explorer control, you will see the data A blank space, B blank space. It lets you trim out multiple blank space and input one blank space. The reason is InfoPart, and InfoPart normalizes your spaces for storage. If you really want the spaces, you have to go and make your text box to access the page data and access the dialog today, which is normal to
InfoPart. So, the volume of data I can upload through InfoPart to a particular server as well as a server or a cache one. So like I'm just attached like 10 MB file or 20 MB file to InfoPart, like I'm attached to my laptop. So is there any restrictions on InfoPart? Are there certain practices or skills you have?
Well, basically there are no restrictions on InfoPart. File attachment. Using that control, you can attach files from your local system and submit it to the web server, SharePoint, or to the email. There is no restriction about what type of file, but there are some restrictions on type of file is you being uploaded. Because in Drupal will actually take the file and it actually convert the file to a thing in base64 format and embed in the XML file. You cannot actually upload a JSON file or a command file or a DLL, which is normal because an malicious user can enter an EAC or upload an EAC file and do a burst upload. There are restrictions only for type of files and not for file size. All the file size basically depends on, suppose you are sending an email, you cannot directly attach it to one limit document. You have to obviously send it at the receiving end. So it's better to have a lesser size document. If you want to have, you can basically put it in a file share and put the path in this so anybody can access it. It doesn't matter. But there is no best practice even here. We don't have. And let's not have with me for it, but I'm sure I'll do that and give you some demo later.
That's great. So that was really nice knowing about InfoPath and you sharing some really interesting tips.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
And hope to get back to you with some more demos or something.
Sure.
Thank you. Hi guys, so what is the game you're playing?
Carom. It's a well-known game.
Carom?
Yeah.
So can you tell me more about the game?
So it's we just relaxing now from a big release.
Okay.
And before that I just tried to introduce myself. I'm Suresh.
Hi Suresh.
I work as application developer on Microsoft IT.
Okay.
And I'd just like to introduce one of my peer from my game mate.
Hey, I'm Ram.
Hi Ram, we know you.
Yeah, I am also an application developer both for Mr. IT. And now I'm playing very famous indoor game. We have it in the office, so it's very cool to play with in the office itself.
That's great. So how do you guys play this?
Sorry?
How do you guys play this game? Tell me more.
Okay, Canada basically is the food for their game. And you basically have we have like similar to chess, we have like white and black coins and we have a common red coin. You basically need to one thing is to take the white and the black. And you basically have to get up on the not to put the coin, but you put all the other coins and win the game.
Okay. So whose move is now?
I'm done, I have already got my coin. I'm gonna play rocket, so it's like it. I want to share something about Canvas Build. It's basically MS Build is a build engine that has come along with Wiki and Frame in .NET 2.0. What does MS Build do? It basically builds your Visual Studio project and other projects, and it also helps you to get provided in various servers. And we are basically working on MS Build for the past 2 months, and really enjoying working with MS Build. It basically, we are actually getting most milestone gets the main thing is developers will just build, will just develop the code, develop and the test will just test it. But we are also spending some time to build my application, configure manual, like just going, opening my all the projects, building it, and getting to test certain distributed service in there, and test servers. And we don't have any automation. We can basically MS Build, which is basically helps us to build my car, build my application, and helps us to deploy the application with just a single click. You basically don't need to worry about spending 7 or 8 hours to build and deploy to any server. We are actually spent 2 or 3 days to build the script. And finally we just end up spending money for just 40 minutes to just build and deploy it in the various servers that we have.
So I'm pretty smiled because every time I walk into play, I just look at my camera and decide when I'm going to play. Right? So I got the answer when I was about the news and I was happy saying that Remembrance is a way to make me happy when playing this game. Right? You may not be the funny guy you were talking about, what the Remembrance do and Karen do with it. It's not like that. Every day is a different lesson, like we have a release tomorrow. So basically we go on by street, we have to deliver the end code complete to the test. So the test will start using the application. So if it's a small app, that's fine, but if it just involves more than a server, like 2-3 servers, it's just trying to deploy all applications in different servers and looking at the configuration and doing the test for the environmental issues at the end of the day. So you might well not use it like some 8 to 2-3 hours more. So what MS Build do to this? So as you said, like MS Build is an engine which comes in 2.0.NET 2.0 framework. Where it's just a lightweight engine which does a lot of automated stuff, but not everything is out of box. You have to build whatever you want. You create your own libraries to do the deployment. Let's say like I want to copy a file, you just create a library to do a copy file. Then finally, it's just a declarative statement in XML saying that you specify copy and specify what is the source and what is the destination. And everything will be done by that build engine. So what I'm going to build engine is, we're just giving an XML data. It's an XML file. You just design your XML file, what kind of servers involved in this, which applications will require in this server, and which files to be copied to some kind of file share, and you want to build a database, just give it a script, and the build engine will have the capability to deploy your SQL script to the database. Anywhere, it's not the local server, you can run from any machine onto any remote server. So I can deploy an app to any remote server without logging into the particular machine or terminal server that's remote desktop to the server. So what I will do is just, we spend like, we both spend 3-4 days to build the script based on our product record and their deployment record. Once it is done, and we have to create with a script for a development environment, we can create a script for test environment, and we can create for production environment. So basically this goes as a parameter. So nothing to do with like I have to create multiple scripts, it's just a single script, and maybe the server names will vary for different environments. So I will just change the environment in my XML file, so I will just give the command prompt a kind of parameter saying that this build is a dev build, this is a test build, this is a production build. That's it. And I just run a single command from it, just push enter, boom, it's done. It doesn't get it into, you get a mail saying that, hey, the build is successful, and it sends a mail to all the respective people who is involved in this testing. Or somebody who is really interested to know whether a particular date or milestones are met, whether this release is up now or if there is anything else. So my 90% will be very keen in getting some mail saying that, okay, whether we are on date or we are some shooting. Or some lack of fixing the gate or something to be taken care of. So that's why everything. I am just done, my everything is successful, now I am playing my game.
Definitely.
And my desktop also so happens that they don't know what
to say. So MS Build is a big part of the SDLC actually.
It's a big part. Actually, you have to be able to develop, you have to go to a rollout, or a production, or a testing. Or for dev also, we have to do some kind of pre-testing before it goes to testing. So we need to set up all the environments. But I have a raw code, but I don't have an environment. What I will do? I don't want to spend 3 days setting up this environment every feature complete. So I will just create my own setup at beginning based on my requirements. Finally, I will just shoot a single command which will do all my jobs. And I just next day morning I come and just fabricate the application and lock the bug and fix the bug.
So does the RTM product also ship this way?
Yes.
Okay.
So currently 2.0 frameworks available for GCC releases and GCC 0.0 available. So the MS Build is sitting with that as of now. So the enhancement is going to be happen, but currently it supports like almost 50 tasks, inbuilt tasks like deploying SQL, copying files as editing files, deploying web services, deploying websites in your remote server, and creating MSIs, creating CAP files. And you can do a lot of stuff which you are doing manually using multiple tools.
Okay.
So you might use this Visual Studio installer to create MSI. You might be using some third party tools to create MSI. you might be using some manual thing to insert an open XML file, go to SysNode, and change the driver to SDCD server to emulate the server. I don't want to worry about rendering. I'm going to do everything in XML, and it takes care of modifying that particular value to a particular server, that's the main parameter. If it is a production, it says product for server 1. If it says test, it says test server 1. So that everything is automated now. I mean, I don't need to worry about it. And apart from that, I'm getting email. I can get email and I can get log files, which is attached to the email, so that I will get a complete view of what's happening in the MS building. So it gives like, okay, it's completing reference deployment, it's completing database deployment. But this reference problem, anything goes wrong, you can see a picture where it went wrong and what is your next step to process. So it gives a complete interaction. I hope like it's extensibility, and that's the key area where Microsoft is focusing on, saying that it's a .NET based engine, so it supports all the .NET features, so you can write that library to support your extensibility. So you can write .NET, VB.NET, you can write features, any .NET supported language. So you can extend the .NET based engine up to what you want. So currently it supports some limited features, but you can extend to 100, 200 based on your requirements. Your organization may have a different way of applying applications, like more than 100, 200, it supports extensibility. That's the best part in the
industry.
That's great. So actually, this is 2005. The project size is 2005 basically an MSC project. This is 2005 using MSC to compile its code. As he said, I'm just talking about writing the linear deployment. I just go ahead and give the input about what, how MS Build does all those things. MS Build is basically an XML file where it has two nodes, say, this project. What type of project is it? And MS Build, you have a set of properties defined to basically the properties. This property is something like a variable which you will be using while doing some building or some requirements. Similar to the property, you have something called items. Items are nothing but a collection of values, a collection of files, collection of items and nothing. You also have something called target, which basically is a group of small tasks. These targets are the ones which basically that's the main task. For example, task is compile my t-shirt project, compile or copy my base binary file from one location to another location. You can also have, there's something called warning. You can store a warning message, suppose you're trying to copy a file that the file is taken, so you can give a warning message that the file is taken and will do overwriting. You can also get user input from that whether you want to continue or not. As I said, in the field, you can deploy and manual directions, you can take care of the necessary actions. MS Build by definition does not roll back any of the operations. We have write up our own script to roll back operations. We are really in a very good mood to make our application work, application that we're building in deployment with it, by just reducing it to 20 minutes. Earlier, my build and deployment documentation runs to 70 pages, and now it just runs to one page.
Wow.
Because of all the changes in my configuration, which we wrote into 2 days or 3 days in the XML. So it does all of that. And you can see, currently, we are expecting to add more tasks in the design frame in November. But it doesn't stop you from writing your own task and then use the task in the MS Build. So, and I also have a very good experience where I was previously working with the support where MS Build has been released. I was just keen in saying that why can't we automate our build process? Why can't we automate the printing or application deploying the server? So I was just very happy using Microsoft Network Control and just write some VB, Cisco, food stuff behind this thing, connecting the files, get latest files from Microsoft
and there is food together nearby and all constituents who will be coming from it. And there is a lot of great nature and care of everything. So whatever it is, finally I get, but I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied with the most what I have. There is a lot of stuff that will make me very good, feel happy about what I did. So currently what I am doing is just everything. So it gives us getting, it has an improved capacity of getting process, Python process, various source controls. If you have a third party source control, don't worry. Use your extensible kit, implement the function there, and connect your source control gets identified. There's no nothing done. So definitely, if it's extensible, we can do anything. So you don't have to worry about whether analytical can work with third party, some different source controls, different databases, don't worry about anything. It's not extensible. Just implement the interface and just write your own source control there, you are done. You are completed. So when I compare what is missing in the previous PS management tool, which is usually .NET, you can build the application there. But only thing is, you cannot customize, you cannot extend, and you need the .NET install on that particular machine. So it's kind of not managing the particular big IDE or whatever tool to just build the application. It's going to be a really big question. So if you think about MS Build is very smart, thin, and it's extensible, built on .NET framework, and you don't need to be installed into your .NET management. It just needs to have a framework installed, just, you know, like maybe maximum to CMD of file, maybe download and install to the framework. That's it. And it's just a command from it. And if you are a very cool guy of creating some cool stuff in UI, just create a .NET tool out of uniform. There's a lot of graphics around it and say that, hey, just select what is the parameter for this build and say that what is my input to the build, if you know the XML build, and just click build it. That's it. And you can show it to my manager and say, wow, I created a UI, and you don't need to go to the command prompt. I'm giving a good user interface for you. I think I'm going to suggest this to Vichy, you can say that, hey, you can take my user interface to build it. So,
that's it. But so you know that Ram here has stolen 5 of your moves.
Yeah.
So you should be playing 5 more times.
Yeah.
While you've been chatting with me, he's been stealing your moves, so he's actually had 5 extra moves.
Yeah, that's why I think he took advantage of my MS-Build passion. No, we work each other. You take advantage of what you have and just work.
Share
the knowledge and just not wait. Just don't wait for anything, just use the time and just complete the work. So you just did it. I think you take it. I just want to tell you one thing. Developer, go, just go now and try and send what all your documentation running from more than 1 page to 100 pages building your MS-Build. It's going to make my going to reduce the stress when you get any developer and install it in n number of servers. Here it's just like in single, just like your site manager would install it in n number of servers. And second thing is the point of whatever I'm saying. Earlier my sister used to ask me, how many the job? We give it in the morning for a day and we can install it before you go for it and come back in the morning for that. But no, after a year in MS, they never asked me. I got my changes great, excellent, fast.
So, that's fantastic. So, thanks guys for sharing information about MS Build. Thanks. And you can carry on your game.
Sure, yeah. I have a talk together. I have a talk already in my life. Thanks.